Episode 245, welcome to the Unschlagbar Ehrlich Podcast, three-time Wisconsin champion, currently wrestling for North Michigan University, two-time national qualifier, last chance Olympic trial finalist, under 20 All-American and mechanical engineering student. Welcome Marissa Roth-Angelus. Hi.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you for taking the time. I wasn't quite sure if it's like Marissa Roth or Marissa Angelos. What do you prefer, actually?
It's Marissa Angelos. My former last name is Roth, so there's still some like accolades that go with that name. So yeah. Either or.
Okay, is it your mother's side, right?
Yeah, for Angelos, it's from my mom's side and we're Greek. And so it was originally Angelopoulos. And so when they came through Ellis Island, they cut off the back half.
Like Greek in Greece?
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. Okay, awesome. Did you spend time in Greece also?
I visited there. I still have relatives who live there, but yeah.
It's a really nice country, especially in summertime. I love it there.
Yeah.
So we met a few days ago. Actually, I think it was a week ago at Hero Gym Vienna. You had your last training session there and on the next day you went back to America. I wanted to know, how did you end up at Hero Gym Vienna?
Yeah, so my former assistant wrestling coach, she was at my university as a teammate for a year, and then she was a graduate assistant coach for a year before graduating and finding another job and eventually moving back to Europe. And her and I have just stayed in touch, and I wanted to go visit Europe and train around there. I went on a trip last year again by her in Latvia, and so we chose Austria kind of randomly because she had some connections there, and we just met in Austria and decided to spend the week and try and find places to train and just explore.
That sounds awesome. So what did you visit in Vienna? Did you do a little sightseeing in Vienna?
Yeah, actually we got a tour from two of the girls at your gym, and they spent a morning and showed us around the first district and a bunch of sightseeing, and they told us a lot about the history and brought us to experience the coffee culture, and it was really cool to see everything.
Did you enjoy the coffee?
Oh yeah, it was really a fun experience.
Yeah, Austria has a lot of history, especially the buildings. I think every time you go into the first district, it's really amazing to see all those old and very nice historic buildings.
Yeah, it was really pretty.
And also pretty, I think, is the Hero Gym. This gym for us in Austria, it's really great because it's very big for Austrian gyms. And you have a lot of training sessions, coaches, athletes there. What did you think about the Hero Gym, or especially the gyms here in Austria?
I really liked the gym that we ended up going to. It was very unique. Like, I've been to a lot of gyms in the United States, and usually for wrestling, what I can think of, it's usually pretty separate. Like, they usually don't have like a really advanced like wrestling program in addition to like the other martial arts. It's usually kind of like martial arts and then kind of wrestling on the side. And if you want specifically like advanced wrestling, you have to go to a specifically like wrestling location. So it was really cool to see one gym with like a high level of all the combat sports, which was really, really cool.
I think it's really one of the perks and the good things that we have here in Austria. And I always wanted to know, what did you think about the quality of wrestling here at our gym, especially because you have seen a few classes. I think you went to Hampash, the coach. He is from Chechnya. He has a special Chechnyan wrestling style. What was your experience with him?
I really liked him. My friend who was with us, she was kind of the translator between us. But one thing I do really like about wrestling is that I've been to a couple countries now for wrestling, and I usually don't speak the same language as them, but you don't really need to know the same language to like, be able to communicate, which I really appreciate about the sport. And but his technique was really high level. It was some of the stuff that I had seen before, so it's not like it was like way out there. Like it was pretty spot on for being high level. I think a structure of practice was really good, and overall, I really liked him as a coach, his style of wrestling, and the way he was coaching.
Maybe you can explain to us a little bit one of your wrestling lessons. So how does 1 hour wrestling or 2 hours of wrestling look like in your university compared to us?
In the United States, our warm-ups are usually a little bit different. It's usually a little more like individualized, and I'd say like the intensity and pace isn't as high. Whereas in Europe, it's everyone's quiet, doing the same thing. There's not talking. It's pretty high pace. In the United States, it's a little more like choose your own warm-up. A little more individualized, usually more relaxed, I would say. And then we do usually go into technique and then some hard drilling and usually some live at the end. But I'd say the biggest difference as well, the warm-up's the biggest difference. And then I'd also say for technique, in the United States, there tends to be a lot more like talking and collaboration. Whereas in Europe, I've noticed it's been more a higher like kind of intensity where you're not communicating as much and you're just more feeling it with each other. And then when you're given corrections, you make that adjustment, but you like keep the pace going. So I'd say just kind of that communication is a little bit different as well. And then also in the United States, we tend to not like shake the coach's hand. We will after practice, but we don't line up in the beginning of practice or at the end. In the United States, we'll do that for like jiu-jitsu practice maybe, but not in wrestling as much. But in Europe there is more. I've noticed like every practice I've gone to, you line up in the beginning, the coach addresses you before practice, after practice, and it's just a different kind of respect, I guess.
Yeah, I always thought about it if it maybe depends also on the culture from the coach, because most of our coaches, they come from Chechnya, Dagestan or countries like over there. And I think that's why they are so very strict and very disciplined, and they don't want us to talk, because I am one of the girls who is always talking the whole training session. I always talk, but I can also drill and talk. It's no problem. I have a lot of energy, so I just talk a lot. And my coach always says, Silvana, you have no discipline. And it's not because I don't come to training or I'm not doing the stuff that he says, but it's just because I talk so much. That's why I like American style better. You can talk a lot. And for me, it sounds like more fun, because I think sports is so hard anyway, especially wrestling is so hard. So I think having fun is just good.
Yeah.
You told me the teaching assistant, she's from Latvia. You visited her.
Yeah, last year I did. So last winter I went to Latvia and I stayed in her hometown, Jelgava. I got to explore the capital there, Riga, and we also took like a day trip to Lithuania and got to see like the Hill of Crosses and just like some sights like that. But then I also was able to train there and then also do like a Christmas like training camp for a couple of days. That was like a combination of Latvian and Lithuanian wrestlers mostly. So I got to experience those practices too.
Awesome. Is it like almost the same like in Austria?
It's very similar, yeah. It's I'd say like Europe as a whole has a style. And so they were all relatively similar. I'd just say the biggest difference was there was more technique based in Austria, whereas I did more live wrestling when I was at the camp with Latvia and Lithuania, but still a very, like, very similar structure.
Which places did you like most? Because I think with wrestling and your camps, you go all over the world. Top three destinations for wrestling.
I actually really liked Austria. That's probably my top right now. I really like the European like style of practice where it's higher pace, everyone's really focused, and there is camaraderie, but it's after practice. And so I like the European style a lot, but I really liked how much technique we did at like a high pace in Austria. So I think right now that's my favorite.
So it sounds like you would like to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, we would like to see you back here also, because in Austria we don't have too many girls who wrestle.
Yeah.
I saw on Instagram that you not only love wrestling, but other sports as well, like you're really good at gymnastics or running marathons or compete in triathlons. How did you get into sports? Why, when, and overall, can you maybe give us a little history of your love of sports and how everything developed?
I started in kindergarten. I did cheerleading, and so that's kind of how I started tumbling. And I did that growing up until middle school. And cheerleading was like a group of girls, and it got kind of cliquey like as we got older, and the coach had a daughter on the team, and so there were like favorites and stuff. So I didn't really like the environment, and so I decided in middle school I wanted to try every sport so I could figure out what I wanted to do in high school. And so for the fall sport, I did cross country. And then for winter sport, it was between basketball or wrestling. And so I put a bunch of papers in a hat and I picked one, and it was wrestling. And so then I tried wrestling that winter. And then I really liked it, and I just kept doing wrestling. And then eventually started doing my second year of wrestling, I started doing freestyle. And so that brought me into high school. And then I wrestled on the boys team all through high school, and then eventually went to college for it. And then my first year in college, my mom, she used to run marathons, and her first marathon was after her freshman year in college. And so I wanted to do the same thing. So I signed up for my first marathon, which was the same marathon she ran years prior for her first one. So I ended up doing that. And so now I do that every year. And my goal is to eventually compete in an Ironman triathlon. I just started doing small triathlons and will hopefully build up to an Ironman.
Wow. And running is really good for wrestling too. So two things at one time.
Yeah, I think they're very similar mentally. So I think they're pretty compatible.
Yeah. What kind of music are you listening to when you're running? Or what do you do while running a marathon?
I usually don't listen to music at all when I run. I just like the time. For me, running is just a way to like clear my head and like flush out my system. Like if I'm sick or like have a cold or something, I like to go for a little run and just kind of like flush it out. Or if I'm having a bad day, like I just go for a run, and I feel like it's just a good reset to just be outside and like with my body. And that's why I like running.
How often are you going for swimming lessons or swim training? Because triathlon is also like running, cycling and swimming. And I think it might be a little bit difficult to put swimming into your weekly schedule.
Yeah, it is hard. I have a pretty good foundation in swimming. I started swimming when I was pretty little. I would go to some swim practices, and I was good enough to where I could be a good partner in the pool, I guess, with the swim team, but I was never really passionate about it. So I never competed. I'm not like a great like fast swimmer, but I have a good enough foundation to where during wrestling season I usually don't swim a whole lot, but then once it ends I'm usually in the pool a couple times a week. So yeah.
Yeah, what exactly do you like about wrestling? What excites you the most?
I really enjoy the technical aspect of it. So I feel like it's really just you on the mat. So it's not like this big team sport where if one person messes up, it's kind of hard to like point out what's wrong, I guess. It's really like all on you. And I also just really enjoy like the mental toughness of it to where like you are gonna get beat up and bruised a bit, but it's just you gotta keep pushing through it. So that balance of like just grit and technical aspect of it. And then I also like the community with it too. Like even traveling overseas and stuff, everyone's super welcoming. When you don't speak the same languages, like it's not a problem. And you're all just kind of a family.
You told me that you started freestyle wrestling in your second year. So the first year was just about Greco?
No, I was in the United States and in school you wrestle folk style, so it's only done in the United States.
What is folk style? Sorry, I don't know what folk style is.
It's only done in the United States, and it's kind of like the reason for it was to make it like safer for students, I guess. So in middle school through high school, so all the way up through high school, both boys and girls do folk style. And then at the college level, men do folk style and women do freestyle.
Okay, why?
Just because women, there's no advancement in folk style, whereas in folk style for men, they can go to the NCAAs and stuff in the United States, whereas women don't have that. So they put us in freestyle, which makes us more competitive on an international level, I guess. But I guess technically the main difference between folk style and freestyle is that folk style has three periods and they're each 2 minutes long. And then there's, instead of parterre, you have referee's position and you're not allowed to like throw them. Like their feet can't go over their head. You can't suplex. You can't full Nelson. So it's just a completely different style of wrestling, I guess.
It's hard to imagine how it looks like. I mean, I can imagine not throwing a suplex and stuff like that, but folk style sounds different, just different.
Yeah, I don't think it's as much fun. I didn't like it as much.
Yeah, so you would not advocate for it also being in NCAAs for women.
No, I like that we do freestyle. Yeah.
I saw that you also did like Greco. Is it true? Is it something like a side hustle sometimes go to Greco tournaments?
I don't compete in Greco. For us, like, we don't have women's Greco tournaments at all in the United States. And I'm pretty sure that's not super common anywhere else either. But now, within the past, like, couple years, like year or two, they've added women's Greco tournaments, but it's more like for high school and under. So I was a little bit ahead of that advancement. So I know more like women in the United States are having those opportunities, but that was never something I had. But I grew up around clubs that had a lot of men's Greco, so I would go to their practices. But beyond their practices, I haven't competed in it, no.
Yeah, you told me you were training a lot with men or guys. How was training with them?
I was the only girl on my team really throughout high school. There were a couple that joined here and there, but I was really the only consistent one throughout my 4 years there. My high school team overall was pretty inclusive. Like they all looked out for me, and they're all pretty good partners overall. But in competition or at some clubs that I'd gone to, they weren't always as inclusive. And there were some who would try and hurt me and stuff during practice, or some who would just flat out refuse to wrestle me. So I did run into some issues, but I'd say, like, at the core, my team, was always pretty supportive.
When at the training, what are the things you love most? Are there some techniques or some warm-up stuff you really, really love?
I really like, pretty much everything. I feel like for warm-ups, I really like the tumbling aspect of it with my background in cheerleading. So I really like tumbling and kind of pushing my like athletic ability, I guess, in that. And then for technique, I always love learning new things. And my favorite technique, I guess, isn't really learning new like moves, but learning new ways to like improve my stance or like lowering my hand level. Like there's really small adjustments that like make the difference between winning or losing a match. So I really like learning those and really like those detailed oriented techniques. And then I'd say another my other favorite thing would be I really like at the end like that cardio push, like where you've kind of just had live matches or whatever, and you're kind of on that point of breaking, but then you got to do sprints after, or you have another match, and I really like pushing through that and just kind of like when I am ready to give up, just like how much more I can do. And I really like that.
Yeah, me too. I love that especially. You made history in wrestling. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
So for high school, so each state, they don't have sanctioned wrestling yet. So for Wisconsin, we were one of the last states to be sanctioned. So it wasn't sanctioned until my senior year in high school. And so I was able to participate in the first like sanctioned women's like state tournament for wrestling. And so I was able to compete in that and I ended up winning that state title. So I was the first state champion at my weight class for the state of Wisconsin. And I also that year held that record for the p fastest pin at state. I don't know where it is now, but at that first year. So that was also a really cool moment as well, just to be a part of like the growth of women's wrestling.
So cool. Was it one of your favorite moments in wrestling sports for you?
That was probably one of my favorites. I think right now I really like getting to travel for wrestling, and that's probably my favorite right now. So yeah, winning state, traveling for wrestling. I've been coaching a lot too now. And so getting to be a part of that, because that also is helping me as a wrestler too by coaching. So that's also one of my favorite moments right now. I think it's just constantly growing.
Are you coaching girls and boys, or is it for a girls team?
Girls and boys. Yeah.
Awesome. Which age?
I'm in high school, yeah.
That's really cool. And you also tried to get to the Olympics. How was your time there, and what did you experience? I think the tries were pretty hard.
Yeah, so I competed at the Last Chance Olympic qualifier, so I was short of making Olympic trials by one match, but I really enjoyed that experience, I guess. There were multiple tournaments that I did that could have qualified me for the trials. That year was difficult because I got injured, and so I was competing at some of those competitions injured. So I was a little disappointed overall, but I made it to the finals in one of those competitions. And I remember because this year I was like 19, I think, and this was really my first time like traveling everywhere alone. I didn't have a coach with me. I didn't have a warm-up partner. I didn't have a team with me. It was just me going to these events. And I remember showing up to this competition, and they wouldn't let me check into the hotel because I wasn't old enough.
No way.
Yeah, and so then I remember just sitting in the lobby, just kind of like, what do I do? I'm across the country. I gotta stay here to compete tomorrow. Like, okay. And I ended up working it out, and I was able to stay somewhere. And then the next morning, I got an Uber to go to the venue. And I remember showing up and seeing a bunch of like big names in US wrestling. And I remember going to the bathroom and crying because I thought there's no way that I'm supposed to be competing with these people because I'm not anybody and I know all these people from being on USA Wrestling. And then I remember calling my mom. And she was like, nope, you're there. Like, You're meant to be there. It's okay. So I just took a deep breath, competed that day. And by the end of it, I realized that I can compete at a high level and that I'm meant to be here and just keep getting better. So that tournament was definitely a core memory for me.
Yeah, and one of the hardest challenges ever in your life, I guess, because it sounds so hard to go in this room alone and then you see all those wrestling stars and you have to compete against them. Crazy, crazy, really. Good challenge.
Yeah.
Do you want to compete for the next Olympics also?
I would like to compete in those competitions again. But I think I'm also at a point where I know that like the end of my competitive career is probably coming up within the next like 5-ish years. But everything that I've accomplished through wrestling has made me who I am as a person as well. So I think I'm at a spot where if something happens and I could no longer ever wrestle again tomorrow, I'd be really content and happy with all of the stuff I have learned and gotten from the sport. So I'm kind of at peace with wherever the journey takes me, but I'll continue to take it as far as it allows me to.
It's funny because I saw an interview from Amit Ehlor and she said the same thing. And then afterwards, she went to Paris and won the gold medal in wrestling for Team USA. So maybe you never know. Yeah. Who is your favorite wrestler actually on Team USA? Do you have one, or is it more like, do you have a favorite wrestler from other teams?
I don't know if I necessarily have a favorite wrestler. There's definitely like matches that I really enjoy watching from wrestlers, but I have learned just from my experience in the US, being able to be around some of the really high level athletes that are kind of like posters in the sport, is that they're not always people to idolize. Like some really good wrestlers and athletes that I've met throughout my career just aren't very good people. And they just have like a talent and a gift for the sport. And for me, I would rather be a really good, rounded person than really good at a sport. So I've kind of stepped back from idolizing certain people in the spotlight just from their sport career, I guess. So I don't necessarily have a favorite wrestler, but I definitely have some like favorite matches or athletes to watch, I guess.
Yeah. Who is one of those athletes, maybe?
I really like watching like Amit Allure. She's really fun to watch with her two-on-ones. That's similar to my style of wrestling. I also really like her new content as well now that she's having a baby and
Posting so
everything.
much. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and so I really like her like mentality and mindset for wrestling, so I really enjoy that. Helen Marulis is another really big staple. I really enjoy her stuff as well.
And I love that she's not the youngest anymore and still competes at such a high level.
I also really like her content too, with where she seems to like be satisfied where she's at, but still just allowing the sport to take her wherever it goes.
Yeah. I saw that you are a big fan of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and I really love her too. In the back, there is a bookshelf, and I have a book of her also. So. She's such an amazing person. Why do you and love her so much? And what did you learn from her?
So my mom, she's a lawyer, actually. So
Whoa.
from pretty young, she's introduced me to a lot of those things. But I was in high school and I went through kind of a hard time in high school. And I wanted to make, I kind of thought like, oh, if I'm having a hard time, there's got to be other people here who are also having a hard time. So I decided I wanted to make a club at my high school that was just a space where we'd meet once a week, and I would make like a couple slide decks on like a hard to talk about topic. So we covered things from like sexual assault, domestic violence, like families around the holidays, like just hard kind of topics. And I'd give like a little informational 10-minute PowerPoint or like video or something like that. And then I just leave it open for discussion, and I just hand out a couple questions and just as a conversation starter. And then I just allow people to like share their experiences or like just educate each other on the topics. And if someone had something get off their chest, like it was a safe environment to do it. So I was starting that club my junior year in high school, and I needed to come up for a name for it. And I asked my mom about it, and she was like, "Well, why don't you name it after Ruth Bader Ginsburg?" And so I didn't know a whole lot about her at that point. So then I went down kind of a rabbit hole, and I was like, "Yes, like she would be on board with this. Like this is really up like what she represents." So I made the club and named it after her. And like one of the club meetings, we watched the documentary about her. And that club is still there. So I've graduated and I passed it down to people. But she's just kind of been a staple for me to just, if I believe in something or I want to do something, that I should just go ahead, even if I'm in the minority. And if I continue to do that, there's other people who aren't maybe brave enough or are scared to right now to agree with me. So if I'm the first one to say it or the first one to do it, it'll help those around me. So that's what she means to me.
Oh, that's a crazy story because you built a club that's still active after you left. That's really, really, really awesome. Especially it helps people, so cool. You had a very big interest in construction since you were little, I read somewhere. Where does this come from and what excites you about this?
So my aunt, she was an engineer. I guess a physicist, a theoretical particle physicist. But so she got her PhD from Cornell University, and her husband's also a physicist as well. So growing up, she would take me to a bunch of engineering camps. And my mom, she's a lawyer, but she also really liked math. So she was also super supportive with putting me in STEM programs, and having both those really like strong female figures in my life. They were very like, you can do whatever you want to do if you put your mind to it. So I really enjoyed math growing up. So I took a lot of math classes and went to a lot of engineering camps. And at one of the engineering camps, we went to a construction site and I really liked it. I wasn't sure what about it I liked. I just really liked being there. And then we did like a road construction, and everyone else at that camp did not like it. They thought it was really boring, but I really, really liked it. And so I knew I wanted to get into construction and engineering. And it was just kind of throughout college was kind of me figuring out how I would get there.
That's so awesome. And especially now you have at your university, you have math as your minor. And as a major, you went with mechanical engineering technology and your focus on renewable energy. Yeah. What do you want to do with this? Is there a project or some company you want to work with? Or what exactly are your thoughts on especially renewable energy?
Yeah, I want to eventually get a professional engineer's license. So in the United States, you need a professional engineer, a PE license, in order to approve and make construction documents. So they do all the math behind it, and they like make the blueprints and stuff, and then they stamp it, and they basically take responsibility for it. So if for say, like the building collapses and it was a structural problem, me like stamping that drawing, they could legally sue me. Like I'd be legally responsible for it because it was my design I approved. And so, in order to get to that level, you have to graduate from an accredited university. You have to pass a fundamentals of engineering exam, which is a 6-hour long exam. And then
What?
you have to spend 4 years underneath a licensed professional engineer and apply to your state. And then after those 4 years, then you take a PE exam, which is an 8-hour exam. And once you pass that, then the state gives you that. So that's the path I would eventually like to take. And I don't have a specific company per se I'd like to work for. I'm pretty open, but one thing I do want to get into is there's kind of like It's like an Engineers Without Borders kind of a thing, and where they travel around, I guess, the world and do projects in like developing countries and stuff like that. And I'd really like to be a part of that in some way. That's where renewables, I guess, would come in as well. And I just think that's a really good base for everything.
Thank you so much. It was a real pleasure to talk to you. Maybe you have one last advice for everyone who is listening, maybe an advice for wrestling or for profession or just being a good person. What's something you want to share with the listener?
I would say always have your why, your reason why you're doing something. Because at the end of the day, like every little thing you do could be over within a second. So having your why and your purpose to kind of ground you and make you well-rounded so you have a lot of options that make you who you are is just, I'd say that's probably the most important thing. And your biggest takeaway in whatever you're doing is just always have a purpose, and be intentional in every area of your life.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This was podcast episode 245 with Marissa Roth Angelos. She is a three-time Wisconsin champion, currently wrestling for North Michigan University, two-time national qualifier, last chance Olympic trial finalist, under 20 All-American, and right now a mechanical engineering student. We wish her for her future all the best, and thank you guys for listening to today's episode.